Good morning, church family. So this is not a typo, so bear with me as I read verses 1 through 44. Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." When he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. And then he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." "But Rabbi," they said, "a short while ago the Jews were there tried to stone you, and yet you are going back?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Anyone who walks in the daytime will not stumble, for they see by this world's light. It is when a person walks at night that they stumble, for they have no light." After he had said this, he went on to tell them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, and I am going there to wake him up." His disciples replied, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better." Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and for your sake I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Then Thomas, also known as Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she replied. "I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." After she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. "The teacher is here," she said, "and is asking for you." When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, By this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days. Then Jesus said, Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, Take off the grave clothes and let him go.
Thank you, Kathy. That was quite a long... I really think it's important to go through the whole story of Lazarus, so there's important points all along the way. I want to say something about Doug. Hopefully everybody had... Hello. Are we good? Okay. Well, I told you we've got an amateur thing going on here. We're all right. We're getting by. Yeah, he's rarely ever sick, you know. In the last 4 years that I've known him as a pastor, he hasn't ever been sick. He's been gone fishing, but no sick. So we definitely need to keep him in our prayers. I think he got too much sheetrock in him, I'm not sure. But, you know, he usually tells a joke about now, but no. On Wednesday night we had bingo, and we gave it a shot on the jokes. It just didn't work out. We all agreed that we'll never do that again. We need our pastor back. Well, good morning. It's good to be here with you today. I want to start with a question. Have you ever had to wait on God? Nope. No, nobody's ever waited on God from your prayers. Yeah, I'm not talking about waiting in the grocery store, sitting at a red light. I really mean waiting, praying, pleading, and wondering if God is ever going to show up. Maybe some of you have been there. You prayed for healing for yourself or a loved one, and it didn't come when you wanted. Maybe you've been waiting for God to fix a broken relationship, to provide for a need, or to answer a prayer that feels like it's just bouncing off the ceiling. And after a while you start asking, where is he? Doesn't he see what I'm going through? Why isn't he doing anything? I tell you, if I had moments like that, I remember a time I was praying for something desperately and I thought for sure God would handle it right away. I even had it all figured out. I said, Lord, here's what needs to happen and here's how you can do it. You know what? God didn't follow my timeline. And I struggled with that. But later I looked back and realized he hadn't forgotten me. He was just working on a different timeline than me. That's exactly what's happening in John 11. We're going to look at a family, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, who knew Jesus personally. He was their friend. They had no doubt about his power. So when their brother Lazarus got sick, they sent word to Jesus. And what did Jesus do? Did he rush over? Did he drop everything and come running? Nope. He waited. And in the waiting, Lazarus died. Can you imagine what you must have felt? Maybe Mary and Martha kept checking the road thinking, he'll be here any minute. Jesus loves us and he'll come. And then when Lazarus took his last breath, they must have wondered, why didn't he come? Why didn't he care? But here's the thing. Jesus wasn't ignoring them. He wasn't being cruel. He had a plan they couldn't see. And that's what I want us to look at today. What happened when it feels like God is late? What do we do when the miracle doesn't come on our schedule? Three things we're going to look at today. God's delay are for his glory and our good, even when we don't understand them. Jesus meets us in our grief. He doesn't just fix the problem, he walks it through us, with us. Jesus calls dead things to life, not just Lazarus, but us too. So if you've ever felt like God was late, like he didn't answer when you needed him to, I want to encourage you. He may not always come when you want, but he's never late. All right, let's dig into this first point. God's delays are for his glory and our good. Let me ask something. Have you ever felt God was just dragging his feet? Like prayers were something really believing for it, but it felt like God was off doing something else? That's exactly how Mary and Martha must have felt in this story. They sent word to Jesus. Lord, the one whom you love is sick. That's John 11:3. Now notice what they don't say. They don't beg. They don't even ask Jesus to come. They just assume, just as soon as Jesus hears the news, he'll drop everything and head straight to Bethany. I mean, this is Lazarus, Jesus' friend, someone he loves. Surely, Jesus won't wait. But then here's what Jesus does. Though Jesus loved Mary and her sister and Lazarus, and having heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. That's John 11:5 and 6. What? Jesus loves him, so he stayed where he is? That doesn't make sense. Wouldn't love meaning getting there as fast as possible? Well, when God delays, he has a purpose. This is one of the hardest things for us to grasp in our walk with God. His timing isn't our timing. We want to microwave God. Press a button, the answer pops out in 30 seconds. But God often operates like a slow-cooked meal. He takes his time because he's doing something deeper than we can see. Jesus explains this in verse 4. This illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. John 11:4. Now, we know Lazarus does die. So what does Jesus mean? He means that final outcome isn't going to be death. It's going to be glory. Let me pause here and say something important. Sometimes what looks like the end of the story is just the middle of the story to God. Mary and Martha saw Lazarus' sickness as an emergency. Jesus saw it as an opportunity. And listen, God does the same thing in our lives. Sometimes he doesn't answer the way we think he should. Not because he doesn't love us, but because he sees something bigger than we do. Jesus wanted to show his power in a greater way. Now let's go a little deeper. In Jewish tradition, there was a belief that someone died, their soul would hover around the body for 3 days before departing permanently. Now that's not biblical teaching, but it's common cultural belief at the time. By waiting until the fourth day, Jesus made sure that no one could say, "Oh, Lazarus just unconscious and he came back." No, Lazarus was gone. Jesus intentionally let the situation get worse before stepping in, so that in fact, there would be no doubt about his power. Now let's be honest. This is not how we want God to work. We want God to step in when the problem's small, when it's still manageable. We want God to come through before we lose the job, before the diagnosis gets worse, before the relationship falls apart. But sometimes God lets things get past the point of no return. Because when he steps in at that moment, there's no question that it was him. And that's what he's doing in John 11. He's not just planning to heal Lazarus, he's planning to raise him from the dead. That's a much bigger miracle. Trusting God when we don't understand. Now let's talk about us for a second. Because this is where we struggle, isn't it? We don't like waiting. We don't like delays. Some of us are in a season right now where we feel like Mary and Martha, waiting, wondering, questioning. Some of us have been praying and trusting, but it feels like God is just staying put. like he's not moving fast enough. Let me encourage you. Just because you don't see God moving doesn't mean he's not working. Think about it. Joseph sat in prison for years before God elevated him. Moses was in the wilderness for 40 years before God called him. David was anointed king, but he had to run for his life before he sat on the throne. And Lazarus? Lazarus had to die before he could experience resurrection. But in every one of those single cases, God was in control. He was preparing something bigger they could not see at the time. And he's doing the same thing in your life. So what do we do while we wait? We keep praying. We don't stop seeking God just because you don't see an answer right away. We hold on to God's promises. Even when things look dead, trust that he's working. Don't mistake delay for denial. Just because God hasn't yet doesn't mean he's not going to. Listen, some of the best testimonies come out of seasons of waiting. God may not come when you want him, but he will come when the time's right. Let's go back to Mary and Martha for a second. When Jesus arrives, Mary runs out to him and says, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died." John 11:21. And I bet some of us had prayed that same prayer. "Lord, if you had answered sooner. Lord, if you had healed them. Lord, if you had provided before I lost the job." But let me remind you, just because Jesus didn't come when they wanted didn't mean he wasn't coming. And when he did come, he did something far greater than they ever imagined. So whatever you're waiting on today, whatever feels too far gone, I want to encourage you. God isn't late. He hasn't forgotten you. He's just setting the stage for something greater. Let's keep trusting. Amen? Amen. I'm getting used to this too. All right, let's talk about the second truth. Jesus meets us in our doubt and grief. One of the hardest things in life, going through deep pain and wondering where God is. We can deal with a lot of things, but when we're hurting, really hurting, we want to feel God's presence. But what do we do when it feels like he's silent? That's the situation with Mary and Martha are in here. They had sent word to Jesus, expecting him to show up, expecting a miracle. But he didn't come, and Lazarus died. And now, 4 days later, Jesus finally shows up. Now let's look how they respond, and more importantly, how Jesus responds to them. The first person to meet Jesus is Martha. I love Martha. A lot of times she gets a bad rep for that whole business in the kitchen thing. Not going in. Luke 10:38-42. But here, she's the one that runs out to meet Jesus. Look at what she says. "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." John 11:21. Now let's be honest. This is a statement of faith and a statement of frustration. At the same time, she's saying, "Jesus, I know you could have stopped this, and you didn't." Can we admit that sometimes we feel that way? "Lord, if you'd answered sooner, I wouldn't have lost my job. Lord, if you'd stepped up, my loved one wouldn't have died. Lord, if you had just moved quicker, I wouldn't be in this mess." That's happened to me a lot. And here's what I love. Jesus didn't scold her. He doesn't say, "Martha, you should have had more faith." Instead, he gives her a truth to hold on to. "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they will die, will live." John 11:25. Now listen to Martha's response in verse 27. "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." Martha doesn't understand everything yet, but she chooses to believe. She doesn't let her pain push Jesus away. She leans in. Now here's where it gets really interesting. Because Mary, Martha's sister, reacts very differently. When Martha came out to meet Jesus, Mary stays in the house. I think that tells us something. Mary's hurt. She's grieving. Maybe she's even a little angry. But finally, when Jesus calls her, she falls at his feet and says the same thing Martha said. Lord, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died. John 11:32. But here's the difference. Martha gets a theology lesson. Mary gets tears. Look at Jesus' response. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews came in with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. And then comes the shortest, yet one of the most powerful verses in the entire Bible. Jesus wept. John 11:35. Now this is huge, because Jesus knows what's about to do. He knows that in just a few minutes, Lazarus is going to walk out of that grave, and yet he still stops to weep with Mary. Why did Jesus weep? Let's talk about this. Why did Jesus weep? I mean, he's God. He knows the outcome. He knows Lazarus isn't just going to stay dead. So why does he cry? There are three reasons. I believe Jesus wept. Jesus wept because he felt Mary's pain. Jesus isn't just a distant God sitting on a throne detached from our emotions. No, he enters into our pain. When you hurt, he feels it. When you cry, he sees every tear. When your heart's breaking, he isn't just watching from heaven, he's with you. Psalm 34:18 says, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Some of you are carrying pain today that you haven't told anyone about. Maybe you feel like no one understands what you're going through. But Jesus does. And he weeps with you. Jesus wept because of the brokenness of the world. The phrase in verse 33, greatly disturbed in spirit, in the original Greek, carries the idea of deep agitation or even anger. Jesus wasn't just sad. Excuse me. Jesus wasn't just sad. He was angry at death itself. He was looking at the devastation that sin and death had brought into the world, and he was grieved by it. Let's be clear. Death was never a part of God's original plan. Sin brought death into the world, and Jesus hated what it had done to his creation. So when he stood there at Lazarus' tomb, he wasn't just mourning for a friend. He was mourning for all humanity. Jesus wept to show his heart. The people standing around him said, see how he loved them. John 11:36. And they were right. Jesus loved Lazarus, but more than that, he deeply loves you. Sometimes we think of God as powerful but distant. But the story of Lazarus shows us that Jesus is both powerful and personal. He doesn't just perform miracles. He gets down in the dirt with us. He doesn't just fix problems. He walks us through them. And what does that mean for us? So what do we do with all this? Bring your pain to Jesus. Both Mary and Martha went to Jesus, but they did it in different ways. Martha came with questions. Mary came with tears. If you're struggling today, if you have doubts, if you're grieving, if you're wondering why God hasn't moved yet, don't pull away from him. To him. Know that Jesus understands your pain. He's not distant. He's not cold. He's not too busy. He's a God who weeps with you. If you've ever thought, God doesn't care about me, look at John 11:35. Jesus cares deeply. Trust that God has the final word. Jesus didn't just weep. He was about to do something. And church, that's our hope today. Whenever you're facing, no matter how painful, no matter how broken, it's not the end of the story. Jesus meets us in our grief, but he doesn't leave us there. Maybe you're in a season of grief right now. Maybe you feel like Mary, staying back, wondering why Jesus didn't come sooner. But let me remind you, Jesus is here. And when he shows up, he's just not bringing comfort, he's bringing resurrection. And hold on, church, the story isn't over yet. Amen? Well, gotta make sure we're up to date here. Jesus calls dead things to life. Now we've seen how God's delays are for glory and our good, and Jesus meets us in our doubt and grief, but now we come to the climax of the story, the moment where Jesus proves that he has power over death itself. I want to ask you something. Have you ever looked at the situation in your life and thought, this is dead, there's no hope left here? Maybe it was a dream that didn't come true, a relationship that fell apart, or maybe it was a season of life you thought would never end. Some of us today feel like we're standing in front of the sealed tomb, thinking, it's over. But church, Jesus just doesn't stand outside the tomb and weep. He speaks, and dead things come to life. Let's look how this unfolds in John 11, 38, 44, and what it means for us today. Jesus commands the stone to be rolled away. That's John 11, 38, 39. Now, by this point, Lazarus had been dead 4 days. His body had already directly begun to decay. And when Jesus gets to the tomb, the first thing he says is, take away the stone. And immediately Martha objects. Lord, there's already a stench. He's been dead 4 days. Now let's be honest. Martha's being practical. She knows what's happened to her body after 4 days. She's saying, Jesus, it's too late. Damage is done. And I think a lot of us have that same mindset in our lives. Lord, the situation's gone too far. That relationship's too broken. My faith is too weak. But listen, God is not concerned about the stench of death. What we see so far gone, Jesus sees as an opportunity for resurrection. But I do not tell you if you believed you would see the glory of God. John 11, 40. Jesus is saying, trust me, it's not over yet. Jesus prays before the miracle. John 11, 41, 42. After the stone is rolled away, Jesus says something interesting. He prays out loud. Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me. John 11, 41, 42. And now think about this. Jesus didn't need to pray out loud. He could have just whispered, and Lazarus would have come back to life. He prays for the sake of people around him, so that they would believe. And church, this shows us something very important. Miracles aren't just about us. They're about revealing God's glory to others. When God brings you through a hard season, it's not just for your benefit. It's so others can see his power. When he restores what's broken, it's so that your testimony can bring people to him. Everything God does in our lives is meant to draw people closer to him. Jesus calls Lazarus out, John 11, 43, 44. Now comes the moment we've been waiting for. Jesus doesn't go into the tomb. He doesn't touch the body. He doesn't perform some long ritual. He simply speaks. Lazarus, come out. John 11, 43. And church, when God speaks, death has no choice but to obey. Now let me pause here and say something important. Notice that Jesus calls Lazarus by name. Why? If he had just said, come out, every grave in that cemetery would have opened. And that's how much power is in the voice of Jesus. And listen, he's calling some of us by name today too. Some of us have been living in spiritual graves, buried in sin, fear, depression, doubt. Some of us have wrapped up in shame and guilt, thinking that God could never use us. But Jesus is standing at the entrance of your tomb today, saying, come out. Lazarus comes out still wrapped in grave clothes. John 11, 44. Now, I love this part. Lazarus comes out alive, but he's still wrapped in grave clothes. Strips of linen covering his head, hands, and feet. And Jesus says, unbind him and let him go. John 11, 44. Now, why didn't Jesus just didn't go, the grave clothes disappear. But sometimes, even after Jesus brings us back to life, we need to be set free from the things that have bound us. Some of us have been raised to life in Christ, but we're still carrying the old rags of fear, shame, and regret. Some of us have been forgiven, but we're still wrapped in the guilt of our past mistakes. Some of us have given a new start, but we're still stuck in old habits and mindsets. And church, that's why we need each other. Notice that Jesus doesn't say, "Lazarus, unbind yourself." No, he tells the people around him, "Help him get free." Listen, we weren't meant to do this Christian life alone. We need each other to help remove the grave clothes. That's why we need the church. That's why we need accountability, encouragement, and discipleship. Because Jesus calls us out of the grave, we need each other to talk to walk to freedom. And what does that mean for us today? What are the barriers in your life that need to be removed? Maybe it's doubt that keeps you from fully trusting him. Maybe it's bitterness that has built up over time. Maybe it's fear that keeps you from stepping out of faith. And Jesus is saying today, roll away the stone. Jesus is still calling people out of the grave. Lazarus wasn't resurrected because of anything he did. He was dead. Same is true for us. Salvation isn't about what we do. It's about responding to the voice of Jesus. And maybe today, Jesus is calling your name. Maybe you've been spiritually dead and it's time to step into a new life. Maybe you've been stuck in a rut and it's time to move forward. If you hear his voice today, don't stay in the tomb. Jesus is still removing grave clothes. What are the things still clinging to you? Is there sin you need to let go? Is there a mindset that's holding you back? Is there a hurt from your past that you haven't healed from? Jesus doesn't just resurrect us. He sets us free. Some of us today are standing in front of a sealed tomb, but Jesus is here. And he's saying, roll away the stone. Come out. He says, be free. Will we respond? Church, when Jesus calls your name, don't stay in the grave, because he is the resurrection and life. Amen?
Amen.
So what do we take away from this? God's timing isn't ours, but it's perfect. Even when he seems late, he's working. Jesus is with us in our grief. He's not distant or cold. He feels your pain. He has power over death, not just physical death, but death in your hearts, relationships, and futures. Maybe today you feel like you're standing outside a tomb hoping for life, wondering if Jesus is ever going to show up. I'm here to tell you, he already has. And he's calling you to come out. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though they die, yet shall they live. John 11:25. Will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, thank you for speaking to us today through your word. We're reminded that even when we feel like all hope is lost, we're still working. You are the resurrection and life, and nothing is beyond your power. Lord, help us trust your timing, even when we don't understand. Meet us in our grief and doubt, and remind us that you weep with us. And Father, call us out of our graves, out of fear, sin, and despair, so that we may walk in the new life you have for us. Unbind us, Lord, and set us free. Give us the faith to step forward and the strength to encourage one another as we follow you. We give you all the glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for worship today. I pray that the message spoke to you, that God used his Holy Spirit to build up your faith and to draw you closer into a relationship with him. And if you're someone that has not yet taken that step to make Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, I can't encourage you enough to make that decision for him. This is the only decision in your life that will have eternal consequences. If that is something you'd like to do, would you pray along with me now? God, I know that I am a sinner. I know that my sin has separated me from you. But God, I believe you sent Jesus Christ to pay the price for my sins on that cross at Calvary. I ask for forgiveness now. I ask that you make him the Lord and Savior of my life. And Lord, give me your Holy Spirit that I may walk by faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you made that decision, I want to pray for you now. Father, there are people out there who are hearing this message who have committed their lives to you for the first time. And God, I just pray that you walk with them, that you move in power in their lives, that, Father, that you reveal your holy character through them, so that, Lord, that they may be drawn into a relationship with you, that they may be formed closer into the image of Jesus Christ, and so, Lord, that they may become your adopted son and daughter. We thank you for this message today. Lord, we thank you for those who have accepted Jesus Christ, and we thank you for our brothers and sisters who walk with us and in faith. Now, folks, if you made that decision, would you please let us know about it? You can contact us at yeastcommunitychurch@gmail.com, or you can go to our webpage, yeastcc.org, and there's a place that you can send us a message. For now, I want to say thank you again for worshiping with us today. I pray that it moved in power in your life, and I'm looking forward to having you join us again next week.